Blog Talk Radio.
Are you there, Raven? Hello? Are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
You there?
Yes,
another
I'm here.
Another mystery I'll tell you about later. I couldn't get on.
Oh.
Well, I've been doing nothing here, obviously. But anyhow, that's a waste of time discussing. Let's go to, let's start with an opening prayer, being I just came on myself.
All right. Father, we are thankful today for this beautiful weather again. And, yes, it's gorgeous out again here where we're at. And we don't question it. We're just thankful for it. And we just ask, Lord, that you give us a equally wonderful program today, Lord. We know that there are places here in the United States where you are moving. And we don't really know what's happening. We're not there. But we have heard that there are some wonderful movements of the Holy Spirit going on in our country. And we're just praying, Lord, that it is your Holy Spirit, that it's not the flesh doing this movement, Lord. And we pray for those who are there, who are present for these things that are happening. And we just ask, Lord, that your spirit not be quenched, and that those who are there see wonderful acts of salvation that happen, and that it continue further throughout our country and bring more and more people to know you. In Christ's name, amen. All right.
Being you started with that, let me, because there could be some on here that are not familiar with what we're talking about.
All right.
Anytime there's a real move of the Holy Spirit, there's an equal outpouring of intelligentsia in this world that it's phony. And
yes.
Unfortunately, there are Christians who are obsessed with signs and wonders, and they have been proven to be false. And all that being set aside, because as soon as you say something, this guy was on TV and they found him to be right. All that stuff aside, folks, all the negativity, all the nonsense, all the Christianese sounding language that means nothing. But your opinion and my opinion, which every Bible has a footnote on every page, that Carl's opinion means nothing. Why don't you go ahead and tell them something is startling happening in Kentucky? And you may know, you may not. But the thing that gets me about this is there was no publicity. No one ever heard of anything until it happened. And Raven, your word is spontaneous, I think, is a thing. And it might be. We're not saying. We don't know.
Right.
But this is a sign. If it is spontaneous, hold on. If it is spontaneous, folks, Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32, that is going to happen at the end of time. I'm not saying it's happening. I don't know. It's just this is unlike anything I have heard of in my life. Go ahead.
Yeah, Asbury College down in Kentucky. Now, this is the long, yes, they've had a few, what I'm going to refer to as revivals down there throughout the years at this particular place. Now, in the past, it's always been a sort of spontaneous thing that's happened as well. And from what I understand, this movement has continued to a couple other colleges in the United States. Now, whether or not those were also spontaneous, I cannot say. I will say that I have spoken online to a couple people who have been there, who have actually visited
Why don't you elaborate on what your definition of spontaneous?
Yes. In other words,
we haven't sold tickets for $5,000 a piece.
Right, right. So what happened? This is my understanding, talking to a few people who have actually been there, okay, and from news reports I've read.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, all of these different things. So people have said the following. This is what I have read from people who've been there and from news accounts, that this was a normal, everyday, one-hour meeting in the, I think it's called Hughes Hall or something, or maybe it was the chapel. To be honest, I'm not sure. There's two places here where they meet. And it had started in one of these. And after the hour, people just didn't want to leave. And I have had something like this happen once.
That I can imagine. I can remember with Eric Whitmore's preaching. Yeah, okay.
Yes, exactly. I've had this happen before where, you know, you just don't want to leave for a time. You stay and you praise the Lord and you sing. And, you know, some people are still praying. But this, instead of just continuing on for several hours, and even there, before in the past, it's gone on for like maybe 100 hours or 120, this has now been going on for over a week.
Oh, yeah.
It is, yes. Yes, it's been going on for over a week now. I believe it was a week ago, this past Tuesday or Wednesday, that it started. So that means it's now been, 11 days?
Well, I'm going to say that's coming on 2 weeks.
Yes, it's been 11 days. So it's still going. And I find it, now I will say this. I have something here that was posted 3 hours ago where a professor there called for an end to the public phase because of overcrowding and et cetera, et cetera. So a few people have basically, in my opinion, requested that they quench the spirit and try to get some of these people out. They don't like the flesh, you see. The flesh, Satan, does not like what's happening, that it's getting more
That's almost confirmation that it's real.
Tens of thousands of people,
if it's like a lot of this other nonsense that they have literally exposed has been put on and people paid to do it, Satan will be behind that 200%.
Yes. In fact, let me just read a short paragraph here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Asbury University is planning to hold its final public evening service Sunday and move revival services off campus later this week as tens of thousands have descended on the small town of Wilmore. The school is working with the mayor to address logistical issues as the town of 6,000 people strains to accommodate the massive numbers pouring in from around the world. Now,
I knew that they were coming from the West Coast, but I didn't know what you're saying. From 6,000 is all. Okay. This is amazing.
Yes. Now, beginning Monday, it says, the afternoon service will be accessible to everyone, while the evening service will only admit high schoolers and individuals aged 25 or below. Let me just say this, and this is something that I prayed for with Carl right before, and that is that if this is real, You won't be able to stop it.
No.
You won't be able to stop it. People will continue coming. Craig Keener, who is the professor of biblical studies, it says, called for the end of the revival's public phase for the sake of the students, he says. He says the public phase needs to wind down soon. Right now there are twice as many visitors in town as residents, and some lines stretched into the next block. Yes. Now, my comment to that is, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you think that Christ, would say, we need to stop this now? There's too many people. What Christ would do is say, bring out the fishes and the loaves, right? But nope. But the flesh wants to stop it. The flesh is saying, there's too much. We can't handle it. But God would say, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to run this, not the flesh. So I think we will see over the next few days here, and maybe even the next few weeks, exactly what is going, you know, what's going to happen. There is a Facebook page, actually now for this. I will let you know in case you're interested in case anyone is interested in looking. It's called the Asbury University Revival. It's a public group. It's a Facebook group, and I didn't even know. I didn't even know that this was here before. And I'm actually, since I'm looking for it, I'm just going to join it because I'm curious about it, and I'd like to know, I'd like to be kept up to date on what's going on. So, you know, if you're interested in finding out what's happening at this Asbury University and their revival and what's happening here, you know, I encourage you to go check it out. It's they have certain group rules. It's public, and it just says be kind and courteous. You know, no hate speech or bullying, no promotions or spam. Respect people's privacy and pray for each other. So, you know, I mean, check it out if you're interested. If you're interested, I can't vouch. I'm not going to say vouch. You know, I'm not going to sit here and vouch for it and say it's wonderful, no, you know, but check it out if you're interested. This you know, revival, if that's truly what it is, and I'm not saying it is, okay? I'm not saying it's a revival because we don't know yet. But I am saying if this is God, we will find out, right? If the Holy Spirit is leading it, hallelujah. So we'll soon find out, won't we?
I think what you said there is key to my way of thinking. I know it is. In less than 2 months, I'm going to be 8-0. And I have seen, and I'm going to go back and I can mention big names that people have later testified, not only that, but whoever the watchdog agency of the investigations they've uncovered, and I'll mention a name. I'm not going to mention a name. A man who runs one of the biggest movements in the United States today, him and his daughter are under federal investigation for money laundering, and there have been the shares, folks, and we all know them, of phonies.
Yeah.
The thing
right.
that strikes me about this is in 80 years, I have never seen what's going on and the reaction. And the other thing, the other significant thing, every movement that I ever see, the number one thing talked about usually is the greenback dollar and how much it's going to cost it. There has been
right.
no money associated with it. This has been spontaneous
yep.
as can be. This may be, and again, we are not saying it's just something in 80 years of being on this planet. I have never witnessed anything like this. And this is, and what this to me is the way I read on the LA Times, and I had a, I've got copies of the LA Times, probably 50 or 60 pages of the newspaper over a period of time of the Azusa Street. And this is very similar, Raven, as far as no lack of plans, no publicity, no advertising. It's just a man got up and took a orange crate, a literal. And I worked in a grocery store from 1960 through 65, and that's how I paid for my school. And we used to really, produce would come in a wooden crate, and he just used that as a pulpit. And this thing went for years, I think.
Yes, it did.
But I mean, this could be, and the exciting thing, you could say, oh, why are you wasting time on this? Again, read Joel 2, 28 through 32.
Yes.
In fact, why don't you read that? Why be
okay
around the bush with it?
Great. I just wanted to mention real quick here, Asbury, A-S-A, S as in Sam, B as in boy, U R as in Robert, Y as in yes, Asbury. Yeah, Asbury.
What did you use
University.
For you? What did you use for you?
U as in under. U as in under. So
okay.
Asbury University. Asbury University. So that's what it's listed as if you wanted to look that up. So it's Asbury University. And it's really something. They are putting, if you look it up, you can find videos of a lot of what's going on online. And it's wonderful. Oh, by the way, you mentioned something about it not costing money. Not only does it not cost money, but there are a lot of people out there giving free.
Hold on, Raven.
Yeah.
Raven, I've not heard it's not costing money, but if you listen to most Christian broadcasting, and I realize everything costs money today, money is always mentioned. This has I've never read or heard one thing about, I mean, this is just like, I'm nothing I've ever heard before, because we got to admit it, amongst us girls here, we got to admit,
yeah,
folks, that there is so much money out there in the big business in falsehood. And I mean falsehood and false Christianity. It's a multi-trillion-dollar business. So let's be honest about it. We all know that those things exist. But this, I've never heard anything about the greenback dollar. Anything. Nothing.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not just that there's nothing about them taking in money, which is true. They're not asking for any money at all.
No, that's what
but
I mean.
It's,
and I'm going to tell you,
and
Raven, you can't. And I understand it. Where I'm going tonight, we have a Bible study because, well, I won't go into that. We have a Bible study, and we're moving to a Chinese restaurant that is allowing us to have a room in their back, and not their back room, but a conference room. And to be honest with it, they are expecting us to spend some money, even if it's buy coffee and a piece of pie or cake for dessert, because they can't provide the lights and they can't provide the heat and they can't provide the, you know, cleaning up the room after we're done for nothing. And I'm not ignorant. Well, I may be. But I realize, having been in the business world for 55 years, I understand that there ain't no such thing as free lunch. So I'm not against these people. But you can't listen to anything today without money being mentioned. And you're right. They're not even – I've never seen anything where they're asking charge for anything. No love.
But not only,
and again, I'm not being critical of anybody else.
Not only that, Carl, but they are giving away not only free water, free bottled water to people, but I've been told that they have like a huge truck down there that gives out free hot dogs to people. you know, just so that there is food and water down there for all the people out there. They have hundreds.
This is bizarre in our day and age.
Yes, and there's hundreds and thousands of people, not just inside, but standing outside watching the live feed. And, I mean, it's just, this is, people are coming from everywhere. There are people coming from as far as Singapore. I mean, people are coming from not just all over the country, but around the world. Yeah.
Well, what
go
ahead and read Joel. Now, here, even if you say, well, what's happening in Joel, what's going to happen, Joel's talking about, we're not there yet. Folks, let me tell you something. Nobody knows the day or the hour. And let me tell you, and when Jesus says there's no one knows, or the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour, he even says in Thessalonians, in fact, let me find that if I can. In Thessalonians, he says, not only does no one know the day or the hour, but going a little bit deeper, they're all going to be screaming peace and safety, peace and safety,
yes,
meaning we're secure. They've been all babbling about this return of this Jesus Christ for 100,000 years of my life, and nothing is ever happening. It's all just another phony fiasco. Okay, what I'm going with, when she reads here in Joel, someday it's going to happen, unless you don't believe the Bible. If you didn't believe the Bible, I doubt you'd listen to us two broken down physically human beings talk. But in Thessalonians, we covered that today in church, Raven and I. But he said they will all be yelling peace and safety when sudden destruction. So what I'm telling you, there is going to come a time when what Raven's going to read in Joel is going to happen. And it's possible it's now. I don't know, as Raven said in the beginning, which I liked incidentally, you're not vouching for anything. But read Joel 2:28-32.
Okay, 28. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Yes. Amen.
Did you get to 32?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, the pouring out. I want to find in Joel. Maybe I'm giving you the wrong. It's 107.
You might be thinking about, I was looking at verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil.
Hold on.
We're talking about the latter rain.
Yeah.
And this may be the beginning of the latter rain.
28 through 32.
Yes.
It says,
but we may be in the beginning of the latter rain.
That's exactly. Now, people would say, well, Carl, we've heard this all our lives, and nothing ever changes. Folks, one day there's going to be a latter rain. There's going to be, I believe, the former rain, which was symbolic of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, as water is also always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I believe the former rain was on Pentecost.
Yeah.
There is going to be a portion, and things are going to happen in the latter rain that we would ridicule, and we will. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men see visions. I'm just saying, and also on my servants and handmaids in those days, I'll pour out my spirit. That is referring to Revelation 3:20, where after the church of Laodicea is buried, because it's Ichabod, the Holy Spirit now moves to individual human beings to spread the gospel, because the Laodicean church has totally lost it.
Yes.
This may be happening. I'm not saying it is. I never wanted to be someone who makes comments about the end time. I'm just saying this is unlike anything I've ever heard of. No matter how critical the news media is and how sarcastic, nobody has come, another thing that is amazing, nobody has come out in the national media about what stupidity these Christians are up to now. That's another amazing thing.
Now, I'll say something that I hear from people who have actually been there, because I see people criticizing it. Oh, this isn't real. You've got, you know, all you've got down there is people, and people that are saying this are people that just see the video, and they're saying what they think they see. These are not people who've actually been there. Okay, so these are people who say, "Oh, all they're doing is singing, and you know, we don't really see all we're seeing is they say all we're seeing is this charismatic stuff, and they claim that this is a charismatic university, and so this can't possibly see they're judging this can't possibly be anything of God, anything." Most of these people are not talking about the Holy Spirit. They say this can't be anything of God because it doesn't follow, and this is an exact quote, it doesn't follow the rules of our church, and these are people saying our church, therefore we can't condone it.
Your biggest enemy to true biblical Christianity, folks, is religion. That's why in Revelation 3, in fact, you know what? And I know I'm redundant. Read Revelation 3:17, and Jesus Christ is going to grade, he's going to grade his church, the last church. Uh-huh. He's going to grade them with five adjectives, and it's the only one of the seven churches that nothing is said good about him, everything condemnation. So I would expect the churches to be the number one people on the – and I'm not saying your church, your pastor, your denomination.
Right.
I'm talking about biblical proof that Laodicea, I think, is already here, and where it says there that on her – the servants and handmaids, which are just little people of no regard whatsoever, that the Holy Spirit is going to move on, regardless of what I think. This is going to happen one of these days, folks. Is this one more thing that we're seeing, along with the world system moving every day to a one-world economy and a one-world government, which is going to happen biblically?
And a one-world religion.
One more thing. I'm only saying this is something, Raven, that's falling into place that could be. And when I say I haven't heard criticism, I mean our wonderful people on all the morning shows and CNN and SNBC and all that, they're not there criticizing. And they criticize an ad in the Super Bowl. And I
No, it's the churches. It's churches that are doing the criticizing. Yes.
But still, the news media is blowing this up. That's all I heard Monday. And I won't mention names, but big names in the news media who are criticizing very heavily the fact that Jesus commercial or something. I didn't see it, so I don't know what it is. But the thing that amazes me, Raven, is the news media, who should have been all over this like dark on midnight, is saying not a word.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But I was going to say, I didn't finish there. I was going to say, But the churches, you know, the people who haven't been there are criticizing it, and people that have been there are saying, you know, if you haven't been there, do not judge it, because we have been there, and we're saying if you go, you can't not be touched by God. You can't. You can't go and not be touched by God. It is just a spiritual, close, I mean, people that I've talked to are almost having difficulty even saying what it's like, which is what you and I both know. That's what happens when you truly have this touch of God, this relationship, this Holy Spirit. It is hard to explain, but this close relationship with God, when God really intervenes with you, it's very difficult to explain it, because it is a spiritual thing, not a fleshly thing. And this is how people are talking about it. They're saying, listen, it's happening when you're there. It's happening all around you. People are down on their knees. They're prostrate. They're praying. They are repenting. This is a huge word I'm hearing. I'm hearing repentance, repentance.
Hold up a minute. There's a thing that is grossly missing in the Church of Laodicea that I was raised in since 1948, is repentance.
Yeah.
That's interesting you bring that up. That's actually happening.
Yes.
I'm telling you, folks,
I'm hearing.
No, what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm hearing that word.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
I am
folks,
hearing repentance
days,
from everyone.
Repentance. One of these days, no matter how cynical CNN or any of the news media has been or will be or is, this is going to happen. And they're going to be oblivious then. But it's going to say that when this really happens, the next event is he is going to come like a flash of lightning in the sky, and the nations are going to be panicky because they know it's over. Well, I just wanted to bring that up because you alluded to that in the very beginning, and I don't know much about it. I only know mainly what you tell me about it.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I find it very interesting to keep an eye on it and see just what happens.
It is. Oh, Raven, this doesn't happen. 1905, I think that's when it was, Azusa. The last thing we've
I think it
seen
was.
Of this, well, that's been, what, 120 years almost?
Yes.
And they mock it then. I've probably got 50 or 75 pages that were our copies of microfiche, which if you're not at least 65, 70 years old, where they copied the L.A. Times, and these reporters were sent out, and the reporters didn't believe anything. They were as worldly as could be. And I remember this man going in and saying, I'm gonna expose these people, and he ended up staying there for 3 days.
Yeah.
Not on his job.
Yeah.
I mean, read Laodicea 3:17 of Revelation, and this is where we are, folks. This is the end time church, and we're there.
Yes. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy. Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Not one adjective there is anything good. The only one of the seven churches where Satan's had his dwelling place, where Satan rules. The synagogue of Satan in chapters 2 and 3. Not one of them are as bad as the end time church. Just, folks, why are we saying all this? So you think that we're more intelligent than the news media? I couldn't care less. I don't even want you to go there. Only thing I'm thinking about, if you have delayed and kicked the can down the road as to whether you're truly a Christian or not, please get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Because there's going to come a day, and you read in Matthew 24, when the world is going to look up and he's going to appear and they are going to be frozen in their sin with no chance to repent. Please don't let that happen to you.
Amen.
All right. We're going to continue with our study, which is going to be three chapters in John. We started with John 14, and we got through 14 last week. And it's about the Holy Spirit. And just to bring people up to date with you on this, Jesus was telling these people that if he were to leave, which he's going to leave, he knows he's going to die, it's expedient for them, which means it's beneficial to them. And the reason, because they're thinking, what do you mean beneficial that you're leaving us? You're all we got. Because he was promising something that would never happen in human history. Now, the Holy Spirit obviously was with people in the Old Testament. They could not have prophesied. They could not have the Old Testament scripture would not have been said or even existed without the Holy Spirit inspiring every word. We know that. But he was now going to make you a temple. That means physically. The Holy Spirit was going to dwell in you. Now, we're going to pick up on John 14, 15. And why don't you read 15 through 18? 15
All right.
through 17,
if you
excuse me.
Okay.
17.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you.
And he was saying that because he hadn't died yet.
Yes.
He dwells with you. That was the whole Old Testament. We'd be idiots to say the Holy Spirit wasn't with the people, but he will
right.
be in you. Now, I want to go, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's explore that. Read John 6:38-40. We're gonna define this stuff unlike we do in churches, most churches, and that is use biblical definitions of works, commandments, not seminary definitions, Bible definitions.
For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay. This is his will. All right, I want you to read, you said, but wait, Carl, you said his commandment. We're getting to that. Remember, I'm not going to give you seminary or church definitions. I'm only going to define stuff by the Bible. Go ahead and read 1 John 3:23. Let's now, we know the will of God is to preach and teach salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing added, nothing taken away. So let's go now to 1 John 3:23, and let's see what the commandment of God is. The same thing as his will. No difference.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
So what is his commandment and his will? They're one and the same. And that is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why am I emphasizing that? Because, folks, unless you do his will and his commandment, and his commandments, believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave command. Incidentally, if you don't believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and you're just a Christian because you repeated what I said, you don't even remember what it said, or you accepted Jesus, or you asked him into your heart. And I'm not saying these people are phony. That's for you to decide. We should, because the pastor of the church I go to says repeat the prayer after me, but he gives a preamble of you're a sinner and we must repent in order to even believe the gospel. So I'm saying here, the commandment of God is the will of God. There's no difference. And all that commandment of God is what? You believe in the name of his Son. And you read in 3:23 that you can't love one another with the love of God unless you are a born-again Christian. All this Mickey Mouse seminars and Bible teachings about how to go home and practice, like come to Carl's sessions, and I'll tell you two that I've witnessed who will teach you how to speak in tongues and who will show you how to love people. In other words, the Holy Spirit's not capable, but for a fee, Carl will help you, naturally for a fee. So you cannot have the love of God, per 1 John 3:23, unless you are truly a son of Christ. You can't unless you're born again. It's the same thing about doing his commandment that Raven read here. If we go back to John, and I know I'm jumping all over, and there are people who do not like that, and I understand.
Can I address that one comment you just made there? Because I want to sort of address it specifically and generally, and that is you said something about speaking in tongues. There was a church.
Raven, there's a church.
There was a church
where our Bible study is that does give lessons.
Yes, exactly. And I've been at a church that does that too. And let me just say that this is something else that someone mentioned about this Asbury University, and they didn't even know. They had no idea if anyone down there speaks in tongues. They don't speak in tongues. The university believes in it. They don't believe in it.
I've never heard a statement on that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I have no idea. But here's what somebody piped up and said.
So all, hold on. All the seeking of signs and wonders are missing, which is another thing that shows me it could be an act of God. I'm not criticizing tongues. Go ahead.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if they are or they aren't, okay? But someone piped up and said, well, if there's speaking in tongues going on down there, then you need to stay away from it. This is not of God. And I said, my comment to that, to them, right. My comment to that was this.
They don't read their Bible. They don't read their Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:14. They don't read their Bible. Or they read it on a plan of what we used to hear, read 13 or 14 chapters a day. They're reading it, but they're reading it numb to them. Now, I don't speak in tongues. I have no other charismatic gifts that I've ever known of. But to say it doesn't exist, they're nuts.
Well, my comment to that person and my comment to anyone listening is this. Paul, in 1 Corinthians,
14,
talks about
14.
Yes.
He
talks
says,
about speaking in tongues.
I do it more.
But he also reprimanded some who were doing it incorrectly. Okay.
Yep.
So my comment is this: the Church of Corinth, there were people that were doing it correctly, and there were people who were not.
Amen.
Paul,
that's chapter 14.
Paul did not condemn the entire church for doing it wrong. He did, however, tell those who were that they should knock it off, that they should straighten up and fly right. Okay.
Yeah. In fact,
so,
Raven,
yeah,
bear with me. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 because this is too biblical. And if there's anything we don't hear the Bible from, it's these people who want to mesmerize you with their ability to do something you can't
right.
do. So I want you to go
right.
to 1 Corinthians. I want you to, here, just do me a favor. Go to 14.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Chapter 14. Okay.
Yes, I'm there.
Now, okay, just hold on a minute.
Yep.
Read verse 18, and this is Paul.
Yes. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all.
Okay.
Yes.
19.
Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue.
Okay. Now, he's not criticizing tongues. He says here, I thank God in 18 that I speak with tongues more than you all. See,
right.
that's bringing up your point that he's not criticizing, but he is condemning the people who are phonies. Now, here's what
yes.
read. Again, let's keep going on. Hold on. Read 26, 7, and 8, and 9.
Right. Yes. How is it then, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things done be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself
right
and to God.
Saying, that's exactly what you just said.
Yes.
It's what he's doing.
Yes.
He's saying, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in church, I'd rather speak five words with understanding than all the unknown words of an unknown tongue. Why? Because the spiritual gift's purpose in chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, is to edify the group, not one
yes.
person. Now, here's
yes.
another fallacy, and you've witnessed this, Raven. I know you have.
Yes.
If there's no interpreter, let him keep silence. And let it be by
yep.
two or three at the most. But it's not two or three at one time. One, get up and speak. If there's no interpreter, stop it, because it's not the spiritual gift.
Right.
Well,
because
Raven,
let him speak
Raven,
to himself.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to come to Raven
yeah.
and say, oh, Raven, I have no control over it. The Holy Spirit forced me to do it. Read verse 29.
The rest of 28. Let
yeah.
him speak to himself and to God.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's why he's saying
yes.
the only two or three of a time. And when
yes.
one speaks, if there's no interpreter, do what? Keep silent in the church. I've never been
yeah.
to a function where they kept silent in the church. And they all do it at one time. What Paul's saying, he's not criticizing the gift. He's saying you're using it out of the way you should be doing it.
Yes.
All right, read
verse
29. Have you ever seen this? I've seen it once in my lifetime.
Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge.
30.
But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent.
Aha. Raven, honestly, have you ever been to a Pentecostal church or one of their camp meetings that I've gone to numerous times in the remember the French Quarter and the Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
Big rooms.
I've been to one, Carl.
Rooms, oh, you have? Okay.
I've been to one.
And everybody
yeah, one.
Is absolute chaos. Now, I can't
yeah.
help it, Raven. God made me do it. I was slain in the spirit, and I'm not ridiculing slain in the spirit. Read what Paul says. The Holy Spirit says through Paul, who is the spirit of the prophet subject to? Read 32.
And the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets.
Which means that when you go nuts and to blame God because you had no choice, you are saying the Holy Spirit is lying or doesn't know what he's talking about in chapter 14,
yeah.
verse 32. Here's yeah. the thing. Verse 33 is what Paul hits us with, but they never even the – and I went to a Pentecostal church for 9 years. And I've never even had a semblance of the gift. But there was chaos. What I'm saying, Paul is, read 33, that's it.
Yes. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
No, oh, that's Paul's opinion. Read verse 37.
If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord.
And I got to ask a question. Me, who can't literally see straight, can't lift either arm, has never been to college, Bible study, college, Bible college or seminary. How can these people who claim to be college graduates, how can they read these, Raven, and we have the utter chaos that we've got going on in many of the signs and wonders? Now, where I'm going with that is don't condemn speaking in tongues. The only thing you're
directly
doing is, yeah.
That's an order, Carl, in verse 39. Well,
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Verse 39 says, do not forbid to speak in tongues.
Right.
Do not forbid.
Christianity, hold on. All Christianity I've been exposed to either makes fun of it and forbids it, or says that you got to do it, and they all do it at the same time. You see why the person who comes in from the outside says you're all nuts? Because they're not using the gift. Am I saying they're phonies? As Mr. Obama said when he was campaigning for president the first time, he said very clearly, and it was very good, when asked a question, he said, to be honest with you, that's above my pay scale. I can't say they're phony. What I am saying is they are using their verses they want in the Bible without reading all the verses that pertain to it, and people are ridiculing the Holy Spirit over it.
My whole thing to this guy was, I said, you know, you cannot point to what's happening down there and say, well, if some people are speaking in tongues, the whole thing must be thrown out. I said, that's ridiculous. That's like saying because there are some denominations of Christianity, we must now throw out all of Christianity because some denominations are false. That's ridiculous.
Raven, you and I know that the church we both attended, in fact, March 9th or 16th was the last service because of COVID. They publicly from the pulpit made snide remarks that were actually ridiculing speaking in tongues. Nothing that anybody could publish, but little snide remarks. And everybody laughed. Do we realize the seriousness of what we're doing? We got one group on one side of radical that is going out saying you have to do it and you have to kick the floor. You have to break windows, which I've witnessed. And we got another group ridiculing the Holy Spirit. Any wonder this is Laodicea. We're nuts.
Yes.
And all because we don't want to read the Bible. We want to believe what Carl said.
Yeah.
Biggest mistake you could make in the world.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to this where you were in 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. We saw from 1 John 3:23 that unless we love him, we cannot obey him because it's his strength in us as believers that enables us to keep his commandments. You see why this is? I've had people say to me, well, I'm worried about this because I love Jesus, but I still fail. That's not what he's saying. If you do not born again, loving him, you can't keep the commandments, even though you are an Israelite, even though you've got fence laws, even though you establish rules and regulations. You can't keep God's commandment unless the love of God is in you.
Yes.
Is this making sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, read
absolutely.
Verse 16. You read that once, read it again.
14:16?
Yes.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever.
He may abide with you forever. Think of those words. Read John 14:26.
But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Why do we need to pay Carl for his commentary? And I'm not criticizing a commentary. I'm criticizing that people give sermons out of it, ministers. And we do Bible studies out of commentaries rather than the Bible. And you've witnessed that in my little rinky-dink Bible studies. Why? Because we don't believe this from John 14:26, folks. There's no other answer. Because if you believed it, you wouldn't even go take a shower without the Bible. And I'm exaggerating beyond the point of common sense. The Father will send him in his name, not Carl's name, not a denomination, not an exalted spiritual gift, not someone who believes that water over your head saves your soul. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Raven, why has for the first 30, I've been a believer since 86. In the last 5 years, Christian bookstores are almost null and void, very few. In fact, if I want a Bible or something locally, I either go to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million. There's only one Christian bookstore left in the city we live in that I'm aware of. But the point of the matter is, we don't believe this verse, that he will teach you all things. He will bring all, and I like the way you highlight, you, what's the word? You emphasize all. He will bring all things to your remembrance. And yet, you've witnessed in Bible studies where a person will read their commentary and they will disagree with what the Bible says. You've been there. They disagree with what the Bible says because they're reading the commentary. Can you imagine? They don't believe the Bible.
Yeah.
And when I tell say that, people are ready to bury me, which unfortunately is getting closer. But whatever I have said to you, he will bring all things to your remembrance. But whatever I've said to you, and we don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit says in most cases. All right, let's go to 15:26.
All right.
And this is all on verse 16. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, which has been my theme of my Bible studies ever since Raven got me started on this 3 years ago. And Eric, a man named Eric, got me started on YouTube 3 times a week. The Bible interprets Bible. End of conversation. Go ahead.
But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
Okay. Do we believe that? Oh, Carl, I believe every word of the Word of God. No, we don't. We means, for those who are bad in English like I was, that means you and I. 1 John 2:1.
1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you, that we may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
My little children, hold on, I dropped my mouth. My little children, these things I write to you, that you not sin. Yet there are denominations out there who are saying if you don't have lesbian, gay, LGBT, or whatever the order of those letters are, in the ministry, you will be shut down by the denomination. It's happening in the little town we live in. If you do not marry people of the same gender, you will be shut down. This is a major, major denomination. This is not a denomination that exists in Carl and Raven's basement or whatever.
Right.
You see? Do you see what he's saying, that you may not sin? Well, I have trouble with sin. We all have trouble with sin. But if you have, if you're overcome by sin, you are now overcome by sin because you either do not believe what the Bible says over what Carl says. And I, believe me, I don't, I've always tried. I don't want to make one statement that the Bible does not say. But let's say we've got people still that are criticizing, not meaning to criticize, but they're questioning a Bible verse or verses by what their commentary says. When are we going? We're never going to get out of it. It's going to get worse. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find any faith? And he's talking about his church. Not at Daytona Speedway today where it's 80 degrees or something and they're racing the Daytona 500. He's not referring to that. He's referring to, will I find any faith in my church? We don't believe these verses, folks. And I said we, because for years, I and Raven, I don't think you've seen them, but you know the commentaries I've gotten. They're good. They're better than listening to some of the TV programs. I'm not complaining about a commentary, because when you listen to me, even though I chalk everything we do, both of us on our programs, everything's chock full of, not nuts as they used to say, everything's chock full of Bible verses, you still, all Raven and I can do is point you to the Bible. We can't give you the wisdom and the knowledge the Holy Spirit can. But this insanity about Carl's study guide, Carl's Bible study, Carl's commentary, of course, all with a fee. This stuff has got to stop, folks, because the condition of the church is Laodicea, Revelation 3:17. And if you say you don't believe that, then read 2 Chronicles 7:14, where Jesus says at the end, I will heal the nation. Do you believe this nation is healed morally? If you do, then we're on a totally different wavelength. We will never intercede.
Right.
This nation has never been in such a cesspool of immorality. And what is the fault in 2 Chronicles 7:14? It's his church. Read it.
Yes.
Read it for those who may doubt what I'm saying and think I'm just trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to turn people like me around. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The church is directly responsible. Yeah.
Yes.
My people.
If my people, if my people, that's the church, who are called by my name, will humble themselves.
Christians. Just Christians.
Yes, yes, exactly. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Repent. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land.
If anybody
I just gonna say it doesn't say anything there about doing good works.
No, because good works only follow. In fact, here, tell you what, let's prove this. Go to Ephesians 2:8-9.
Oh, yeah.
Raven just made a statement. Raven just made a statement. It has nothing to do with good works. Why? We're going to explain that. The good works follow only if you're born again.
Yes. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Wow. Now, once you're saved and truly born again, not just because you've been got a Gatorade bath at church, truly born again, read 10. What is the natural flow? but only
right.
if born again precedes it.
Yes. For we are his workmanship, his work, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. His works,
you see,
not ours.
Well, that's after salvation.
Yes.
Now go
yes.
to Titus 2:11.
Titus 2:11. Ah, yes. Hold on, let me get there. Tiny
no
little
problem.
Book right after Timothy.
Yeah, right.
Right after
it's
Timothy.
It's tough to find.
Yeah, because it's so little. Just two little pages here. For the
Jude,
grace of God.
Jude is
that it,
worse. Jude is just
yeah,
one
yeah.
chapter.
Well, the only reason I can find Jude easily is because it's right before Revelation. For the
yep,
grace of
right.
God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Now, once you're
all
saved,
men.
Read 14. Once you're saved, read 14.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Do you see where in both chapters it necessitates salvation? True salvation
yes.
or your works are in vain, folks. Now,
yes.
let's go to Titus 3 and read 5 through
mm-hmm.
7.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
We have done.
But according, yes. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured
Whoa.
Out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
And if you don't go through 3, 5 through 7, don't even talk about good works and how I do this to the church. It's irrelevant.
Yes.
You see where the good works are going to be a natural outflow. You can't prepare for it. You can't study
yes.
it. You can't pay Carl for his books on how to do it.
Yeah.
It is something the Holy Spirit controls. Now, having said
yes.
all that, this is another thing that interests me about this spontaneous revival. If it is true, not only is this amazing according to the Bible, but the news media, which jumps on everybody, even the NFL for allowing a horrible commercial about Jesus to be on, whatever it was, I didn't watch it. They
yeah,
have
yeah.
not detracted from. This is the amazing thing to me. But you see where salvation must precede it. And there's another
yeah.
thing.
Oh, absolutely.
What does he say in Laodicea 3:14? I know your works. Your works.
Yeah.
Your works. Not mine working through you. Your works. And folks,
yeah.
I could be number one atheist in the United States. I can live in Madeline Murray O'Hare's house in the Chicago area. And I can have good works, random acts of kindness. But unless they're preceded by what Raven read in Titus 6 and chapter 3, 5, 6, and 7, they're all for nothing. And yet
yep.
we've got churches teaching this stuff. Now, what amazes me is the normal outflow of the news media against anything that even alludes to Christianity is so bitter and vitriolic as we did last week after the Super Bowl. This whole thing is being ignored by the whatever you want to call them. This is phenomenal, but I don't want to get into
yeah.
that. I find it interesting your knowledge on this, which far exceeds anything I've learned on it. But we're going to go back
my
here
knowledge.
Now to John.
About the
Asbury? My knowledge. No, you're much more up to date with current events on Asbury than I am.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You are. Yeah, I just, to be honest, I haven't devoted the time other than what you sent me to read about it. Now, there's one other thing.
Just an interest.
Asbury, for those who are wondering, it's in the Lexington, Kentucky area. And Lexington,
right.
Kentucky is where the University of Kentucky is. It's in the north central part of the state, and it's about, I'm going to guess, 70, 80 miles straight south of Cincinnati on Interstate 75. I've traversed it numerous times. But it's in the town of Lexington. It's in the Lexington area. But anyhow, moving on. We've covered John 14, 15, and 16. Go ahead with 17. He's emphasizing to these people that you can't just receive the Spirit because you say stupid things in public. You can't receive it because you want to prove signs and wonders. Read 17.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Will be, because Christ hadn't gone to the cross yet.
Yes.
There is only one Spirit of truth, folks. It's a true statement that the Daytona 500 started before we went on the air. That's not truth. It is a true statement. There's only one truth, and that is the words of the Holy Spirit, which are in the Bible. It's
yes.
not in Carl's commentaries. The only thing that Carl's commentary on anything should carry any weight for is if I direct you to the words of the Holy Spirit, period. Raven, I give you credit for one thing. You have never, in your programs or any talking to me, you never interject your opinion. And not only that, but you've got one other thing, and that's the reason I say I listen to your program, not to pay you back for being on here with me, is because when you find something in the Bible, and this is the only the work of the Holy Spirit can do, you are very quick. You and a lady that you know from our Sunday night Bible study, you're both very quick to admit that you were wrong. That can't be without the Holy Spirit guiding you, folks. That's against human nature. It can't be done. In fact, Sue and I were talking about one thing you said to her a long time ago, and you and her had a conversation. It's the same thing, that the minute you prove that someone shows you Scripture, you tell them, why am I doing this? Not to be your PR person, because you haven't paid me yet for the last time. The reason I'm doing it, folks, is because you really believe this. The only Spirit of truth is not you and I. It's the words of the Bible.
Right.
And if we're not giving
that
to these people who take their time, it amazes me still that we get anywhere from 14 to up to 35 people that listen to it, not during the week, not during the program necessarily, but during the week. It's amazing. We get about four or five times more people listening to our program after hours and during it. But the only thing we can do for you, folks, I don't care how much inspiration you may get. I hope you do. The only thing we can do is point you to the Holy Spirit of truth. There is no other truth. Truth. Nothing can be wrong that he says. Now, let's continue with this Holy Spirit. And do we ever need verse 18 now? We need it now than we've ever, more than we've ever needed in American history.
Okay, go on through where?
18. If there's anything we need now, it's exponentially more, Raven, than when I first believed in 1986. There's nothing to comfort you now. Your intestines are being twisted inside and out by this nation and what's going on in the world more than I've ever seen.
Yes. Yes. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
In the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, and I've lived this way, even as a believer, I was too quick to go to man rather than the Word of God.
Yes. Yes.
Now, this is verse 19. Yeah, go ahead.
I just going to say, you know, Carl, you just hit me really hard with that statement you just made, because
good,
there's
I
something.
Good, I got even with you for Saturdays.
Well, you said you said I was too quick to go to man instead of God, and I want to tell you, I don't know.
I was.
Well, let me tell you something. I have the same issue, and I'm sure other people listening have the same problem. Yes.
We all do.
Yes. Well, there's something
I want to interrupt. Let me interrupt you a minute. The thing that my wife and I both recognize about you and a girl named Gina,
Gina
is very, very strong in her belief. But if you show either one of you where the Bible says you're wrong, both of you have the proclivity to immediately back off and say you were wrong. Not many people want to do that, Raven.
Well, I'm about to say that right now. Let me tell you something. There's something I've been struggling with for about, I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4 months. And it's something I won't even share. I mean, I wouldn't even share it with anyone.
No, don't.
And
that's
so
to make the point, it's not necessary.
Right. Yeah. It isn't. But here's the thing. You see, I can't. It's something that for me, it's so deep and it's so. A lot of people would probably think nothing of it. Okay, it's not something I'm going out and doing somewhere or whatever, you know, but it's still something in me that is what I would consider shameful and hurtful and something that I needed to change within myself. But, and the Holy Spirit was really on me about it, but I couldn't talk to anyone about it. You see, I couldn't go to man. And this is something God was really talking to me about and saying, listen, you know, and convicting me about it. I was dead in Hebrews 12. I mean, I was right in there. But I was so used to being able to go to man and say, I don't know what to do about this. God had always allowed me to do that, had given me issues where I could go to man and say, what Bible verse can I go to? Or go to man and say, you know, like a doctor and say, help me fix this or whatever, you know, anywhere. How do I forgive this person? How do I do this, this, or this? But I couldn't go to man in this. I had to 100% give it to God, 100%. And I know that I've done this.
As you know.
Yeah. And I know I've done this in the past with some things before. But see, it's been things that still I could talk to somebody about even and just vent it even a little bit. Like, you know, like the issues with my kids and saying, you know, I've given it to God. But even in giving it to him, I could talk about the issue to someone and say, you know, I've given it to him, but, you know, it's still an issue. You know, I'm just praying about it. I couldn't even tell anyone it was something I was praying about. See, it was just my issue, and God's the only one that knew I was struggling. See,
you know,
this is where I was.
I believe we all have things that are our level of pain, and there's some things that the level of pain is unacceptable to me even right now.
Yeah.
That's why
and
I gotta let
just,
God take it. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. And this is just something that was so spiritually hurtful and emotionally hurtful that I couldn't I still to this day I can't talk to anyone about it. But
I finally,
just a few days ago, I mean I just broke down and said, Lord, you are the only one that can fix this in me. You're the only one. I can't do it. It's impossible. I can't do it.
Amen.
I can't do it. Please just change me. Please just change me because I don't know what to do anymore.
And Raven, he's the only one that can.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can. And yet we are selling literature in so-called Christian circles of how we're to do it. We can't do it. That's like telling me, well, I can't even raise either arm.
Yeah. And last night I just...
going to report the spring training this month to pitch for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Or the Yankees.
And last night I just said, Lord... Last night I said, Lord, please take this. Just please take it, because I can't take the suffering. I can't do it anymore. I can't tell you that it's 100% gone, that I'll never have a thought of this again, that it'll never bother me, that I'll never feel bad about it. But today, I feel a lot more peace.
Raven,
I feel so much more peace.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Because this is Sennacherib putting doubt in your mind, as we all do.
Right. Yeah.
You may. Right now, what God has done for you, he's unplugged the sin nature, the carnal nature, the flesh. It's like a light. I've got a light bulb. Or I've got a light, 200-watt light. That light is capable forever until the light bulb burns out of generating 200 watts of power. The light, the bulb, is sin, and you're not surrendering to God. Jesus Christ is the only one that can reach down and pull that light switch out of the wall, so the power of sin is disconnected, because if you're going to God. But when you and I now start going back to thinking of how we can do it, we're taking and plugging that very thing that the cross, he died to unplug it. We're plugging that darn sin right into the wall of the power of sin.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Now,
I just know.
Well, but
go ahead.
What I want to interrupt you on this for, you're not saying it'll never come. It's got to come. Sennacherib's only job.
Yes.
Is to bring it to you. But read Romans 6:14. Romans 6:14. And you and I got to pay attention to this, as I too have been delivered miraculously from the second thing I've ever miraculously, I have recently, and I mean recent, the last several months. I've got the same fear. Am I going to go through it again? It's up to me. Am I going to depend on obeying the law to be pleasing God, or believing that Jesus Christ has already done it?
Yes. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Hold on. It doesn't say it will disappear. That's the part I want you to see. You may think of it all day long some days.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have the ability to plug it back into the wall. Only he can unplug it.
Yes.
So if you get religious about this, and you believe that you've got to speak in tongues in order to stop sinning.
Right.
You're plugging it back in, because what you're doing, even though I envy people in a nice way who do have that gift of tongues, you're making it depend on God's promise, depending on what you do.
Yeah.
If you and I, we're always going to have these thoughts, Raven. We can't stop them.
Yeah.
But Romans 6:12-14 says that. It will not have dominion over you. But if it does have dominion over you, it's because you're not trusting in what Christ has done, and you're adding some good religious thing of your own. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes,
because
absolutely.
Because you are going to think about it. Raven, and I know what you're saying. I still think about it. But it doesn't have the magnetic pull it had in me for the last 60 years.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. This is amazing. You and I are walking down the same road. But that's another thing. Just happened to me. You know, back in 86, he delivered me from what could have been a horrible situation was starting to drink. This is the second thing in my life that he's delivered me from. And I just this week have thought, what if you go back to, what if you think about it? He doesn't promise you won't think. That's Sennacherib's job. But he promises you, if you keep your faith in him like you told him, please, please take it. You're recognizing that only he can. You will think about it, but it will not have dominion over you, which is where you and I existed.
Yes.
Think of that.
Yeah. Yes.
So don't beat yourself up if you think. Don't beat yourself up if you think about it.
Now, exactly, no, what I need to remember.
What did you say?
But I need to remember.
Words.
Well, what I told him is, I know that I can't do this. I can't do this. Only you can do this. Please just take it from me.
Do you
take
see
it away
that's
from
exactly
me.
What he's? Do you see that's what he's saying? If your faith is only in him, you will not be under the dominion. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And
we're
I know.
Almost out of time. You...
Are we really? Oh, my. You know, I know that if it comes back into my head again, what I need to do is say, Satan, I already gave this to God. Get away from me. This is
but the
this,
point is.
I don't, you know.
But Raven, you got to, hold on, you got to go back to what you said in the beginning. You're the only
yes.
one that can help me.
Yes. Yep. And then I just turn to God and say, Lord, I know this isn't mine. This doesn't belong to me anymore. You already took it.
You will yeah. survive. But here's the thing, even as a believer, Raven, even as you and I saying it on the radio, if we start thinking that I've got to do something to add to Christ, sin is mm-hmm. going to dominate me, even
yep.
though he took it
yep.
away, because I'm plugging it back into the wall.
Yeah, because I was trying to beat it myself, and I can't.
You said it. But yeah. that's what the enemy is going to try to get you to do, Raven. You know it, and I know it.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I hate to
We're
cut
so
off,
foolish.
But we will start next week. We will come to John 14:19. Go ahead and say a final
yeah.
prayer. This is... So I'm like you. When I saw the time, I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Father, we're so thankful for your blessings in our life, Lord, for showing us when we are off the rails, going down the wrong path, that you bring us back, that you bring us right into Hebrews 12, that you convict us and show us where we need to be and bring us back to you. In Christ's name. Amen.
I'm sorry you had to say to go to Hebrews 12, but I'll be honest with you. The thing that drove me to saying I can't do it anymore is Hebrews 12.
Yes. Yes.
I wish
that's
it could be different, but
we'll always be there until we hit room temperature.
Oh. I can't even say that we think alike on this. We're going through the same different topics, I'm sure.
Right, right.
Okay, folks, thank you for listening. We'll come back next week, and we will start with John 14:19, and I thank you. Thanks for being on.
Uh-huh, thanks. Bye.